question I would like to ask this morning is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? A lot of people have a lot of different ideas about who Jesus is. Many people say he's a good man. Many people say that he was a prophet. Many people say that he did a lot of great works. He was a great example for the way that we should live our lives. But I ask you this morning, who is Jesus? We're looking in the 27th chapter of Matthew, and beginning with the 11th verse. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had been a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And then they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, that they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept rose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. We started by asking the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? You know, here we have an account of Jesus' crucifixion, and how that the chief priest and the council and everyone there demanded that he be crucified. And the reason that they demanded that he be crucified was that they said he had blasphemed by saying that he was the Son of God. And then after he was killed, after he was crucified, and they saw the mighty works that were done as a result of his crucifixion, the fact that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, the fact that the earth, there was a huge earthquake, and the rocks rent, the fact that the graves were open and many bodies of the saints were resurrected, came out of their graves, and, you know, all of this, then they said, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, an even more important question for each of us is not who is Jesus, but what did Jesus accomplish for us? What did Jesus accomplish for us? But first and foremost, we have to establish that either Jesus was the Son of God or he was not. Either Jesus was the Son of God or he was not. We see all the way through the Old Testament the prophecy that a Messiah would come and he would deliver God's children, and that he would come and that he would save his people from their sin. We see that this prophecies of the messianic prophecies through the Old Testament started in Genesis and went all the way through till Christ did come. And so we see this over and over in the Bible. Now what the question that we have to ask ourselves is, were these false prophets that were prophesying this Messiah? Was it all just in the 49th chapter of Genesis, the 10th verse says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And we see that there is a prediction that a prophet, that this Messiah would come, and he would be an ensign to the people, and that he would die upon a cross, that he would die for the sins of the people. We see many types of Christ in the scripture. When Abraham took his only son Isaac up, and God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, Abraham obeyed God. He obeyed God, counting the fact that his son could be brought back again from the dead. He believed that God was going to intervene for him, and we see that a ram was caught in the thicket, and Scripture says that God will provide himself a ram. And so the question is, was Jesus Christ the Son of God? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Or is he just a prophet? Is he just a person that came in the world that got a lot of notoriety and got a lot of popularity because he was coming against the religious orders of the day? We see one of the greatest chapters in the Bible that foretells the coming of Jesus Christ hundreds and hundreds of years before he comes. It's in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. It says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Well, here is the prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ long before he came. Is this speaking of Jesus Christ here? Is this speaking of the Lamb that was slain? Is this speaking of the one who we just read the account of Calvary that was called the King of the Jews? What about the other passages in the Old Testament that point to a coming Messiah? You know, we see that the question is, you know, Jesus Christ, is he actually the Son of God? Is he one of the Trinity? Is he the one that would come and be a servant and pour out his life on Calvary, on an old rugged cross? Is he the one that would become and be a light to the Gentiles? He says in the 14th chapter of Zechariah, he says, the 9th verse, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Shall there be one Lord, and his name one? Well, there's a lot of people that would deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God today. There's a lot of people that also deny that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, as it's told us in his word. But where does one gain the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And where does one gain the spiritual insight to actually understand and see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says in the third chapter of Zechariah, he says, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him and unto him. He said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And he says in the eighth verse, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for there are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. All in capital letters. I will bring forth my servant, the branch. How many times was there alluded to in the Old Testament the rock of my salvation? The rock. Moses, when he was about ready to die, did a song. And in that song, he talked about the rock, in the 32nd chapter, Deuteronomy. He says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak it, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So the Lord alone did lead them, him, and there was no strange God with him. Who was this rock that Moses was speaking of? The 18th verse, he says, of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And then in the 30th verse, he says, oh, should one chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies, themselves being judges. Well, I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. Well, Moses was talking about a rock here, and I believe he was talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he was talking about the same rock that is talked about in numerous places in the New Testament. When Christ said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He wasn't speaking about man. He wasn't speaking about building the church on Peter. He was talking about on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood will support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Well, there's many, many passages that tell in the Old Testament that this rock that would come, this Messiah that would come, Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand again upon the earth. And we see that the creator of all the earth is Jesus Christ. The creator of all things is Jesus Christ. He says in the 45th chapter of the book of Isaiah, he says, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he that established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Quite a promise there. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. In the prior chapter, in the 44th chapter of Isaiah, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And he goes on to say in the 24th verse, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." And so he says, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is none God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask of me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the heaven, earth, and created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. And I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall." And so here we see that the question that goes back to what we started is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus Christ? Who is this Jesus Christ? He says in the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." In the New Testament we find he says, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." We find that after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, even though all of the disciples fled and all of them denied Jesus Christ, after they saw that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, they were willing to lay down their very lives for Jesus Christ, where before they had fled and denied Jesus, denied that they had ever known him. After that fact, they were willing to lay down their lives for him. And they suffered much at the hands of men because of their confession, that they proclaimed that Jesus Christ was the very Son of God. He's in the first chapter of the book of Romans, he says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated in the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." That's who he's speaking of there, is the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Many people today, again, believe that Jesus Christ died for everyone, and Paul sets forth that Jesus Christ died for his people, both Jew and Gentile, those who had received the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And he says in the 5th chapter of Romans, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also we have access." We see that in the temple there, when Christ died, it was rent from the top to the bottom, thereby signifying that we had access into the Holy of Holies. He says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." In the 10th verse it says, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life." So, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Well, you know, a lot of people, the reason that they don't believe in Jesus Christ is they have not been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. In the 8th chapter of Romans, the 14th verse says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." So, the Holy Spirit is the one who quickens us, who regenerates us, and gives us the knowledge that we truly know who Jesus Christ is, and we know what Jesus Christ has done for us. We know what Jesus Christ has done for us. So, He has done a great work, and He came in time, and you see the account not only in Matthew, we see it in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of His crucifixion. And we see that He paid a tremendous price, the greatest price that anyone could pay, in dying for the sins of His people and shedding His blood on the cross. And His blood is effectual for all for whom it was intended. And Jesus Christ, the question is, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And what has Jesus Christ done? He has reconciled all of His people to God. He has reconciled all of His people to God. There's not one of the sheep that Jesus Christ died for that will not be in heaven. He says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the great hope that we have in knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that in the 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, it says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, He which establishes us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us in God, who hath also sealed us, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things. Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross of Calvary for all of his people. And he raised from the dead. He did not stay in the grave. He raised from the dead. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, Scripture says. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So, we see that Jesus Christ did finish the work that he came to do. He said while he was hanging on the cross, "It is finished." Although the works were finished before the foundation of the world, that there was a covenant between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ would come and die, and he would be a ransom for the sins of his people. And so the answer this morning that we have to this great question of who is Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ has put all things in subjection under his feet. And we see that Jesus Christ is the one who is our high priest. We can now come boldly under the throne of God, where we can find mercy and help to help us in time of need. And so, you know, Jesus Christ was a perfect high priest. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. And obedience is a direct result of the fact that Christ regenerates all of his people's hearts and causes them to have faith and to believe the gospel. And we see he says that thou art forever a priest after the order of Melchizedek. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He says, I will be merciful to their unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So he is the mediator. He is our high priest. He has once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So he's made a promise that our sins and our iniquities will I remember no more, because he is the one that paid the price. There's no greater price that Christ could have paid than to die on the cross for our sins. And there's a great comfort to us to know that Jesus Christ is all-powerful. He created all things, and by him all things consist. And that he also is the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It's comforting to know these things. So, the next time that you hear someone trying to explain away who Christ is, and trying to say he was a great man and he was a great example, and that he was a great prophet, realize that they are taking away the fact that he is the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one that is worthy to open the book. And that worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power. And, you know, just like in after he was crucified, when that great earthquake happened and all the earth was shaken on its very foundations, and they said, surely this must be the Son of God. One of these days when he comes in clouds of glory, there, and every eye will see him, then they are going to run to the rocks and the mountains and cry them to fall upon them, because then they are going to realize once more that truly this must be the Son of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for paying the great price on the cross of Calvary, and how you were mocked and spit upon and scoffed, and your blood was shed, and yet you did not stay in the grave after your death, but you rose. You're ruling and reigning in heaven, and you have paid the greatest price for the sins of your people. We ask that you would apply your word to our hearts and go with us today and be with us in a special way, we pray, and grant unto us your continued mercies, we ask in Christ's name and for your glory alone. Amen.